Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All of Psalm 23. Then looking in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose builder, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Verses 1 through 12, Hebrews chapter 11. Lord, we thank you once again for the wonderful and the blessed gift of your word. Thank you for the wisdom, the power, the grace, the faith, the encouragement, the insight, the anointing that rests upon your word. And thank you for the blessings that are ours when we're wise enough to making time to get into your word every day, the priority you would have us to make it. More and more, help us to be wise enough to do just that each and every day. We thank you and praise you for this opportunity. Anoint us all afresh. In fact, set us on fire with a passion more and more to read your word and to encourage others to do the same and to be blessed by it. We thank you and praise you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac is going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, we take these moments to sit at your table. We take these moments to be in your presence, to listen to you, Father. As Pastor Joseph reads some of scripture today and tells us more about your word, Father, I ask that you'd open our hearts and that it would be buried deep inside, that you would plant something that'll grow a lot of fruit in your kingdom today. Thank you so much, Father. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Yesterday, we started a presentation entitled Walk Through the Bible, which was part one. And today is part two, Walk Through the Bible, OT Live. Specifically, we're stepping all the way through the story of the Old Testament. And so just to kind of recap a little bit, on yesterday we covered kind of three specific topics covering a big portion of the Old Testament. Number one, beginnings, of course, dealt with the book of Genesis, which is the book of beginnings, and the fact that Genesis, 50 chapters, four main events, creation, fall, flood, the scattering of nations, and the four key people of Genesis are Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. The next section that we dealt with was wanderings, and it's basically the story drawing from the book of Exodus and the story of Moses as God led him to be the deliverer of Israel. God used Moses to deliver them out of Israel, and they made preparation to go into the promised land. Moses didn't quite get there, but he led the Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness prior to doing that. And then the third section was entitled Promised Land, Joshua and the Book of Judges. And it's Joshua that God uses to lead the children of Israel into the Promised Land to go forth and to conquer the Promised Land. And they do that. They conquer the Promised Land and begin to settle the Promised Land to a great extent as well. So here we begin this portion, part two, with this section would be entitled United Kingdom. It's the story of how that Israel began as a kingdom under God. And we open up again where we're looking more or less, we're looking at the book of 1 Samuel. But keep in mind, again, you could say the United Kingdom period in the history of Israel is divided into basically 120 years is what covers the time frame of the United Kingdom. The three kings of the United Kingdom were King Saul, the very first king Israel had, then King David, and then King Solomon. Saul reigned right at 40 years, David right at 40 years, and Solomon right at 40 years. So the United Kingdom of Israel was made up basically of 120 years with those three kings. Interesting how that in the book of 1 Samuel, Samuel is a judge in Israel and a prophet. And he does go on to have his sons to begin to serve as judges as well. But the people are discontent because they see that Samuel's sons were apparently demonstrating corruption in the way they would carry out their responsibilities. And so the people looked around and saw other nations with kings, and they decided, we want a king too. Well, of course, God wanted to be Israel's king. God was the perfect king, and God was the king who never made mistakes. But the Israelites decided they wanted a king like other nations. We want to have a king. And so Samuel consults the Lord over their desires, and God basically responds to Samuel, letting him know, give them what they asked for, give them a king. And so God directs Samuel to anoint Saul, the first king of Israel. One of the sad things we find in Saul is Saul, again, he's a king, but he's an imperfect king. As it turns out, Saul ends up not being a very good king. Saul had a rebellious heart, and he really didn't have a heart for God. He was self-absorbed, he was jealous, he was self-centered, and ended up consulting a witch for direction rather than looking to the Lord. And though he reigned for 40 years, it wasn't the best of reigns. And of course, Saul ends his reign dying in battle. But Saul is the first king of Israel. But then the next king, of course, is King David, Israel's greatest king, of course, obviously, is Jesus. The greatest king they ever had and ever will have is the Lord Jesus. But next to Jesus, their greatest king under Jesus was King David, the second king under the United Kingdoms. And David reigned, he too reigned 40 years. And keep in mind, the Bible refers to David as a man after God's own heart, which is a great spiritual compliment. And as believers, we're wise as men and women of God to seek to be men and women after God's own heart as well. David wasn't perfect. David made some big mistakes during his reign. But David was one who, when he would sin, he knew how to repent, and he would repent and ask God to forgive him. Whereas on a number of occasions, other kings in the history of Israel sometimes just went into sin and just kind of largely remained there. So David stands as a great role model in many ways, not a perfect role model. The only perfect role model we have is Jesus and all of the Word of God. But David was a man after God's own heart. And again, he reigned right at about 40 years. Then the third king of the United Kingdom is Solomon. Solomon, he too reigns right at 40 years. And God had let David know that Solomon would follow him. And after Solomon became king, he was wise enough to go to God in prayer and ask God for wisdom. One night, God steps into Solomon's dream and asks him, "Ask me whatever you want." And Solomon was wise enough to ask God to give him wisdom to be a good king. God was so pleased with him, God gave him wisdom, and he gave him riches and honor as well. So Solomon had wisdom beyond many, many, many other people in his day and time, and people came from far away to come and hear the wisdom of Solomon. Now, Solomon, again, was wise, but Solomon didn't always apply his wisdom, sadly. God had warned Israel against a multiplication of women, a multiplication of wealth, and a multiplication of horses. And sadly, Solomon violated all of those. Solomon starts out with one wife, but he gets another and another, and eventually Solomon ends up with 1,000 wives. Now, it's important to understand that was not God's plan at all. He had 1,000 wives, so part of what that means is he had 999 too many. God's plan was one man for one wife and one wife for one man. But also, he multiplied his women and wives. He multiplied his stock of horses and wealth as well. And so Solomon was the last king of the United Kingdom. So keep in mind, it's important to understand, too, that it's good to seek wisdom. And it's wise to ask and pray and ask God to give you wisdom. But remember, the goal is that you receive wisdom in order to apply it. Wisdom is always meant to be applied. Wisdom and truth go hand in hand. Truth, when you learn it, is always meant to be applied. Don't learn it just to say you've learned it. Learn it in order to live it as well. Lord, thank you for the fact that by your mercy and your grace, you've given us a wonderful book full of wisdom, called the Bible, the Word, the written Word of God. Thank you for the gift that it is to us in so, so many ways. Thank you for the many ways that blesses us and empowers us. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of wisdom. Help us to be wise enough to seek to live a lifestyle of filling our hearts and our minds with your Word, and anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace that would encourage us to be hearers and doers of your Word, learning it in order to live it. We thank and praise you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, the next section is entitled Divided Kingdoms, and we're introduced to the son of Solomon, Rehoboam. Rehoboam begins his reign, and he very early on raises taxes. Now, taxes were high in Israel under Solomon, and the people had actually asked Rehoboam to lighten the load, and sadly, Rehoboam listened to the counsel of some of his peers rather than the counsel of the wise servants that had served his father. He listened to his peers, and they encouraged him to increase the taxation. And the people, when they heard that Rehoboam wanted to increase it, they rebelled. And Israel became a divided kingdom. It was divided into 10 tribes that made up what was called the Northern Kingdom, and then 2 tribes that was made up what was called the Southern Kingdom, Judah and Benjamin, basically, and the other 10 tribes. So we'll pick up there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're looking at the overall topic, Walk Through the Bible, Old Testament Live. We'll be right back. music of Covenant Church with I Will Lift Up My Eyes, drawing from the message of Psalm 121. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the topic, Walk Through the Bible, Old Testament Live. And so we're taking you a quick tour all the way through the Old Testament. But before we get back to the topic of the divided kingdoms of Israel, I want to remind you that one clear goal behind what we're sharing about is to encourage you to become a diligent student of God's Word, a believer who reads God's Word every single day. We pretty regularly challenge and encourage believers to set a goal to reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every single day. It might be the same chapter you read 3 times over. It might be 3 different chapters. But consuming the Word of God ministers to your mind, body, and spirit in a way that no one or nothing else can. One of the most fruitful habits in all of life is the habit of reading God's powerful Word every single day. Remember, when you're reading the Word of God, you're spending time one-on-one with Jesus. And He's not just giving you information. He's pouring grace and peace and power and life and encouragement and anointing into your heart and your mind. You need that. I need that. We all need that. Let me share with you very briefly 10 excellent reasons for you to read God's Word every single day. Number one, it tells you genuinely how to be saved and how to grow up in your faith. See John 3:16, Psalm 119, verse 105, Romans 12:1 and 2, and Philippians 4:6-7. A second reason to read the Word daily, it gives you clear guidance and direction for much of your life. See Psalm 119, verse 105, 2 Timothy 3:15-17. Number three, a third reason to read the Word daily, it empowers your prayer life. See Philippians 4:6-7. Number four, reading the Word daily is important because it sharpens your ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more and more clearly in your life. See 1 Corinthians 1:5. Number five, it ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. See Proverbs 4:20-22. Number five, reading the Word daily helps you maintain your mental health. See Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. And let me just add as a side note, I recall a psychologist who he said that the number one thing a person could do to maintain their mental health was read the Bible every single day. So if you don't read the Bible for any other reason, but so that you won't go crazy, that's a good reason to read the Word of God. God's Word is medicine. Again, see Proverbs 4:20-22. A seventh reason to read the Word daily, it increases God's anointing on every area of your life. See 1 Corinthians 1:5. Number eight, it increases your wisdom in every area of life. See Proverbs chapters 1-3. A ninth reason to read the Word daily, it enhances your intellect and your personality. See 1 Corinthians 1:5. And then a tenth reason as to why you're wise to read God's Word every single day is because it pours grace, peace, mercy, and joy into your spirit, your mind, and your life. See 2 Corinthians 1:2. 1 Timothy 1 and 2 and Galatians 5:22. So if you don't have the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every single day, today is a wonderful day to start that habit. And don't let yourself be deceived by the tragic argument to say, well, I'm just so busy, I don't have time. You and I have time for what we want to do. And remember, we have time for what is first. So if you make time in the Word of God, the first thing one of the first things you do in the morning, you will have time. And remember, Jesus will spend as much time with you as you will spend with Him. Well, again, we're looking at this. This next section is entitled Divided Kingdoms. It's the time in which Rehoboam, the son of King Solomon, becomes king after Solomon's life comes to an end. Rehoboam is now king, and he asked the advice of the advisors that had advised his dad, and they encouraged him to lighten the taxation load on the people of Israel. But then Rehoboam unwisely asks some of his peers, and they encourage him, make the taxes heavier and harder, harsher. Well, he listens to his peers unwisely, and the people rebel, and Israel divides into 2 different kingdoms. 10 tribes rebel and leave Rehoboam, and they become what's known as the Northern Tribe of Israel. And then 2 tribes stay with Rehoboam, Judah and basically Benjamin, and they make up what is known as the Southern Tribe of Israel. Well, in their histories, Israel, that is the northern tribe, had 19 kings in the north. Judah had 20 kings. Well, in their history, in the northern tribe, sadly, the northern tribe had zero good kings. They didn't have a single good king that genuinely loved and served the Lord. Well, Judah, the southern tribe of Israel, had 20 kings in the south. They did have 8 good kings and 12 that were not good kings. So what a sad thing to realize, though, that of the 39 kings that served the northern tribe and the southern tribe of Israel, of those 39, only 8 kings were good kings. And the majority, again, 31 were bad kings. And what a sad, sad commentary on the history of these two kingdoms. God sent prophets with a message to the people of Israel, both southern and northern tribes. Some of those prophets were Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Elijah, Elisha, to name a few. And basically, the message of the prophets was repent. If you don't repent and obey God, judgment will come. And remember, the prophets, their goal was to help encourage people to repent and turn back to God, because God's grace and blessing follows a life where we hear him and obey him. But when we refuse to hear him or refuse to obey, we miss out on blessing. And remember, sin always leads to loss 100% of the time, whereas obedience to the word of God always leads to blessing and a more blessed life. And so it pays to live a life where we're hearing the word of God and obeying the word of God faithfully each and every day. Again, remember when Israel, or either Judah, the southern tribe, or when the king was a good leader and they listened to God and obey him, they were blessed, and the nation that they led was blessed as well. But when the king was disobedient and dishonored the Lord and served other gods and rebelled against God, and not only brought trouble on the king, but it brought trouble on the nation the king was leading as well. So as I said, sadly, the northern tribe of Israel had 19 kings, and not a single good king of those 19 kings. And the southern tribe of Judah had 20 kings, 8 good kings and 12 that were not good kings. Well, eventually, the northern tribe of Israel, judgment came, and the nation of Assyria came and attacked Israel and devastated them. They were a feared nation, and a very fierce nation, and a very tough nation. Their capital was the city of Nineveh. Well, they attacked Israel, and they scattered the nation of Israel, and Israel was no more. That happened in 722 BC. But of course, Judah lasted a good while longer than that. Now, keep in mind, the Assyrians, they married Jewish women and produced a mixed race of people known as the Samaritans. And of course, as time went on, the Jewish people came to really despise the Samaritans. And again, the capital of Assyria was Nineveh. You may recall in the book of Jonah, Jonah was sent by God to the city of Nineveh to preach to it. Now, one might ask, well, why did God send Jonah to the city of Nineveh? Well, remember this, God's goal, God's desire is not just that Israel would be saved. God's desire is that the whole world would be saved. God did want to use Israel to shed his light and his word with the world. But keep in mind, God loves the whole world, and he wanted Nineveh to repent of their sins. God sends Jonah, but Jonah initially doesn't want to go because Jonah doesn't like the Assyrians. He didn't appreciate what Assyria had done to Israel. And so initially he doesn't go, he disobeys, but God disciplines him. He does finally go, and he preaches, and the city repents, and they turn from their wrong, and the city is in fact spared. Jonah's not overly happy about that, but again, this was not about Jonah. It was about the word and the will of God. Well, eventually, Judah, too, was attacked by enemies. The nation of Babylon came and conquered Judah, the southern tribe of Israel, in 586 BC. And their strategy was different from Assyria. They carried away many of the Jews off in captivity and in exile back to their homeland. And for 70 years, the Jewish people were in captivity in the nation of Babylon and Persia as well. And so it's important to understand then that Again, it was Israel's disobedience that led to them being conquered, both the northern tribe and the southern tribe of Israel as well. And so again, for 70 years, the people are in captivity. You know, one truth I'd like to share with our listeners is, you know, in the Word of God, there are a number of names that God's Word teaches us that God has. You know, the fact is, the Hebrew language is a very colorful language, and when you read the names of God as in Hebrew, you'll find that there's much more description given than often we may find in the translations that we have in English. But let's look briefly at some of the names, the wonderful and beautiful names of God. One is Jehovah Rapha, that is the Lord that heals, or God my healer. Another one is El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough, or God Almighty. Another of God's names, Jehovah Reha, that is the Lord my shepherd. Then there's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. Then there's Yahweh, the Lord Jehovah, I am that I am. Then there's Elohim, that is God, judge, and creator. And another one of God's names is Adonai, which means Lord and Master. Then El Olam, the everlasting God, the God of eternity, the God of the universe, the God of ancient days. Then there's Jehovah Shammah, that is, the Lord is there. Then Jehovah, let me see if I can pronounce this correctly, Mekidishkem, the Lord who sanctifies you, the Lord who makes holy. And those are just some of the names of God found in the Word of God. But each name of God, another one is El Elyon, the God Most High, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And again, every name can be a powerful Bible study to help us better know who God is. Jehovah Shalom is another. The Lord is peace. And we could go on, but every name is a wonderful name to think and meditate on in the Word of God. And, you know, I read a portion of Hebrews chapter 11 earlier. Keep in mind, yes, Hebrews chapter 11 is found in the New Testament. However, note that the characters and the people pointed out in Hebrews 11, it appears to be clearly the majority, if not every single person alluded to or mentioned is from the Old Testament. Now, you might ask, well, why is that the case? Aren't there people who use their faith in the New Testament? Well, without question, there are. But keep in mind, the Old and New Testament are wonderfully sewn together. They wonderfully work hand in hand. They work hand in glove together. They're all the Word of God. It's all the Word of God is Jesus. And Jesus is all of the Word of God. And so if the saints of the Old Testament could trust God and do exploits, how much more can we in the New Testament, this side of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, how much more can we do as we put our faith to work, do exploits for the building of God's kingdom and the tearing down of the kingdom of darkness? We're called to be hearers and doers of God's word. Keep in mind, I want to remind you once again, as we've mentioned before, seven ways we can use the Word of God, seven ways to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Number one, we can read it. Number two, hear it. Number three, believe it. Number four, speak it. Number five, obey it. Number six, pray it. And number seven, meditate on it. Now, keep in mind also, I want to encourage you, one of those mentioned again is speaking the Word of God. For example, speaking Psalm 1 or speaking Psalm 23 throughout the day and standing on its promises is a very wise and a productive thing to do. For example, if you simply quote Psalm 23 several times throughout the day and remind God, God, I'm standing on these promises. You are my shepherd and I shall not be in want. You know, God is listening and the angels of God are listening. And part of the response of angels is not only do they listen, but they help to carry out the words that you speak. Our words are powerful, and keep in mind, you and I are the prophets of our own lives. The words we speak help to shape and mold and frame our lives. So it's important that we speak words that line up with the Word of God. Speak the Word of God, speak in line with the Word of God, speak in line with the wisdom of God, because our words are powerful. Keep in mind, as we mentioned yesterday. Genesis chapter 1 opens up with God speaking the universe into existence. God used words to create the universe. Well, we're made in the image of God, and our words are powerful as well. Father, thank you for your grace and mercy. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace that would encourage us to be wise stewards of our words every day of our lives, in the way we talk, the way we pray, the way we express ourselves. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're walking through the Bible, Old Testament. We'll be right back. Music from the Walls Group with All Praise Goes to You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Thank you, Lord, again for all those that are part of our listening family today. And thank you for all those we've lifted up in prayer today. Lord, today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress. Our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terrible night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High habitation, no evil will befall us. Neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot because we have set our love upon you. Therefore, you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You're with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life, you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today, again, we're walking through the Bible, the Old Testament specifically, and we're looking at the section referred to as captivity and the coming kingdom. Now, as I mentioned again, we've mentioned seven ways we can use the Word of God. And one of the ways, of course, is speaking it. As I referred to, I would encourage you to make it a goal of speaking Psalm 23 several times a day. And remember, that's not just a nice thing to do. That's a spiritual exercise whereby you're wielding the sword of the Spirit. You're speaking the Word of God. God is listening, and the angels of God are listening to carry out the promises that you're speaking and standing on as you speak Psalm 23. And you can do that with many a promise found in the Word of God. It's a wise way to function. Your words are powerful. I'm reminded of the story of a man who he would talk to himself often. And somebody once asked him, "Why do you talk to yourself?" And he said, "Two reasons. One is I like to talk to intelligent people." And then he said, "Well, why else do you talk to yourself?" He said, "Well, the second reason is I like to listen to intelligent people." Well, I'm not sure how far he really wanted to take that, but keep in mind, it is wise to speak the Word of God actually to encourage yourself. Because the fact is, we hear many voices in this world, but the most important voice you can hear in this world is the voice of the Word of God. Remember, the Word of God is the voice of God. Jesus is our shepherd, and the voice of our shepherd is the Word of God. So listening to the voice of the shepherd is very wise, very productive, and very encouraging. There are many voices that are discouraging voices. If you listen to a lot of news and a lot of negativity on media or television, many times your discouragement is self-induced. You're pumping discouragement into your own heart and mind. You don't want to do that. God's Word is pure light, and it's great encouragement and strength to you. So make it your goal to speak the Word of God often throughout the day. Remind yourself of God's Word. And so, yes, do talk to yourself, but talk the Word to yourself. Remind yourself of the wisdom of God's Word, the power of God's Word, the grace of God's Word. As we look at this last segment entitled Captivity and the Coming Kingdom, keep in mind, Israel is in exile in Babylon. They've been taken there in exile. And so in this last section of the portion of the New Testament, keep in mind, chronologically, of course, and I speak of this because, of course, the way the books are arranged in the Word of God, they're not necessarily in chronological order. But chronologically, the book of Nehemiah is more or less the last book in the Old Testament. Four key characters in this segment of the Old Testament are Zerubbabel, Esther, Ezra, and Nehemiah. Now, keep in mind, after 70 years in exile, it was time for Israel to go back home. And God used the kings of Babylon and or Persia to provide the opportunity for Israel to pack up and to begin to go back home. One of the key for the first people to go back, of course, is Zerubbabel. He goes back and he leads the children of Israel in the rebuilding of the temple. And so that's a very important event in the life of the history of the Israelites. And there's some challenges and war, spiritual warfare that goes on in the doing of that. But by the grace of God, God uses Zerubbabel to lead the Jewish people in doing just that, rebuilding the temple of God. And once it's rebuilt, there's some people that are rejoicing and excited about it. And some people had tears of joy, but then some people had tears just sort of grieving because they remembered the glory of the temple Solomon had built. And they felt like this new one was not nearly as glorious as the one Solomon built. But, you know, different people often have different perspectives on important milestones in life. Then keep in mind, God used Ezra, who was a prophet and a prolific writer in the Word of God, to help restore the Word of God to the hearts and the lives of God's people. So he was prophetic in his actions. He was a prophet, but also a writer. He's one of the most prolific writers in all of the Word of God, writing the book of Ezra and also 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Ezra wrote as well. And then the Lord uses Nehemiah in the rebuilding of the walls around Jerusalem. And so the book of Nehemiah is largely about him leading the people to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem as well. So again, God uses Zerubbabel to rebuild the temple. He uses Ezra to help restore the Word of God to the lives and the hearts of God's people. And then he uses Nehemiah to help rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. Now, the book of Esther takes place during this time period as well. And it's the only Old Testament book that doesn't specifically mention God or the name of God specifically. So the book never mentions the name of God. Yet God's fingerprints are all over the book. And God uses Esther. She's initially, well, of course, she had lost her parents. And so Mordecai, a relative of hers, raises Esther. God elevates Esther to after the queen. Queen Vashti is displaced as queen. And so the king is now looking for a new queen. And Esther is selected to be the new queen, a young Jewish girl, to be the new queen there in Babylon. And so Babylon. And so keep in mind, once she becomes queen, someone by the name of Haman, who didn't like the Jewish people, wanted to get rid of the Jewish people, came up with a wicked plot to annihilate the Jewish people. But God uses Esther to help save her people from annihilation. And the Israelites, the people of Israel today, still celebrate what's known as the Feast of Purim in celebration of what took place during the book of Esther, when the salvation, when God uses Esther to deliver the Israelites from the wicked plots of King Haman. A good question for us to ask ourselves is, are you willing to stand for truth no matter what the cost may be? Esther was willing to give her life if necessary to save her people, and God used her to save her people. So keep in mind, again, as I mentioned, Nehemiah was more or less the last book of the Old Testament. And going back a little bit, you know, between Genesis and Exodus, it's right about 430 years. Well, between the Old Testament, more or less the book of Nehemiah, and the beginning of the New Testament, where the story in Matthew 1 picks up, we're talking right about 400 years between the end of the Old Testament and the New Testament as well. And so keep in mind, the Bible is a very special book. It's the only book of its kind. The Bible is the best-selling book in the whole wide world. And so our encouragement to you is that if you're not reading it already every day, please start that habit today. It's literally one of the most fruitful habits in all of life. Because remember, when you're reading the Word of God, you're spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he's not just giving you information. He's pouring grace, peace, life, joy, and strength in your mind, your heart, and your life. You need that. I need that. We all need that. So again, starting the habit of reading three chapters in your Bible every day is a wonderful habit to start. And parents, we want to encourage you to start the habit of having your children to read at least three chapters out loud to you each and every day as well. That's a habit whereby they can begin to pour the word of God in their spirit and their minds every single day, and it will bless them tremendously. So it too will greatly bless them as they take time in God's word each and every day. Thank you, Father, again, for the wonderful gift of your word. Thank you for the wisdom, the power, the grace that rests in your word. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that your word is a book full of wisdom, full of grace, full of life, full of peace, full of joy, full of encouragement. And so it's full of you. Father, anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer. Help us to be wise enough to pray the word of God daily, just like as we prayed Psalm 91. Help us to be wise enough to pray Psalm 91 every day. But help us to pray other prayers, like the prayer of Jabez daily, praying the Ten Commandments daily. Help us to pray your word and to live your word. And anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace that would encourage us to read and meditate on your word every day. And anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace that would encourage us as parents to help our children to read your word each and every day as well. We thank you and we praise you. Thank you for us as the church. Thank you for us as a nation. Help us as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today is a great day to be saved. If you'd like to give your life to Christ, would you from your heart pray this prayer now and fully commit your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You told us in your word that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey you and follow you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please be in touch with us. And we'd like to share with you literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please do get in touch again. joseph@afr.net. We'll look forward to being in touch. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession. And remember, if you're not reading your Bible every day, today is a great day to start the habit of reading no less than 3 chapters in your Bible every day. That's a habit that'll bless your socks off. Hope you'll start it today. Be blessed.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.